Your ESPN 1510 Sports Center is brought to you by 20 and 10. After the Final Four was set, now only two teams remain in the big dance. Last night, UConn beat the number one overall seed in the tournament, Florida, 68-53. The win makes Coach Kevin Ollie the third coach in 30 years to make it to the national title game in just his second season. The Huskies will face the Kentucky Wildcats, who was taken down to the wire by Wisconsin.
Dishes to Dakari Johnson. Back to Harrison. Aaron Harrison. Three on the left wing. Got it! He did it again! 5.7 seconds to go. And Aaron Harrison's three gives Kentucky the 74-73 lead with 5.7 seconds to the national championship.
Ooh, some onions!
That was freshman guard Aaron Harrison, who hit the go-ahead three with 5.6 seconds left to give the Wildcats a 74-73 victory. That win makes Coach Calipari 18-2 in the NCAA tournament while coaching at Kentucky. The national championship game is set for this Monday at 8:10 Central Standard Time on CBS. For baseball, the Royals beat the Chicago White Sox thanks to a go-ahead double by Salvador Perez in the eighth. The Royals are now a perfect 2-0 at home. Today's series continues at 1:10 Central Standard Time. I'm Ty Hardiman.
It's 20 and 10 ESPN coming through your airwaves on 1510 AM. Hosted by Ty Hardiman. That's him. Give him the mic. Let the show begin. 20 and 10.
Hosted by Ty Hardiman.
20 and 10.
Ty Hardiman.
20 and 10.
Hosted by Ty Hardiman.
20 and 10.
Ty Hardiman.
Good morning and welcome to another show of 20 and 10. Today's date, April 6th, 2014. Bright and early on this Sunday morning. I'm going to take you up to 9 o'clock as usual. Great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk with UConn beat writer for the Hartford Current, Dom Amore. That's who we're going to talk with. We're also going to talk about last night's fantastic games. How great were those games? How great were those? They were terrific. They were terrific. And also, later in the show, we're going to premiere Four Bar Sunday. Yes, Four Bar Sunday. It is that time. Thanks to CJ McCollum, who was the inspiration for this. Four Bar Sunday is coming up pretty soon. But let's just dive right into that game from last night. Man, how about UConn? How about UConn? Everybody doubted these guys. Everybody hit Florida in their brackets to win it all. But no, Florida doesn't win. UConn does. And you want to know why UConn wins? Because they have elite guard play. And that's what you need in college basketball. That's why college basketball is so different from the NBA. Because in college, you need elite guard play to win. In the NBA, you need really, really good post play to win. But not in college basketball. UConn has Boatwright and Napier. They both can get the job done. Led by Napier, whom is just a fantastic leader on and off the court, and he's a terrific scorer. Have you realized that the last few national champions have all fit this pedigree? They have tremendous guard play, tremendous leadership. Do you not know that? Who won the national title last year? Louisville. Who'd they have? Peyton Siva, Russ Smith. Who won it before that? Kentucky. Who'd they have? Marcus Teague. Most people would recognize Michael Kidd Gilchrist or Anthony Davis, but Marcus Teague, that guy, Marquise Teague, he made some big shots and some big plays because he was able to create for himself. Before that, we all know, Kemba Walker, he was a stud. Before that, who won? Duke, John Shire, Nolan Smith. Before that, North Carolina, Ty Lawson. So, to win in college basketball, you have to have great leadership and elite guard play. hopefully the leadership can come from your guards because they're normally the best players on your team. And that's what you have with Shabazz Napier and Boatwright. Shabazz is, everybody's comparing him to Kemba Walker, and I see the comparisons because he was on that 2011 title team, but we can also look at Khalid El-Amin. Anybody remember that guy? It's the same thing. Khalid El-Amin dominated the ball. He was a fearless leader, and he got buckets when he had to. This UConn team reminds me a lot of the movie Sandlot. Has anybody seen The Sandlot? Because Shabazz somehow, to me, at least to me, maybe because I'm a movie head, he somehow mirrors Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Everybody loved Benny the Jet Rodriguez in Sandlot, right? You had to. Benny the Jet was the leader. Napier's the leader. They both are fearless. Do you remember in The Sandlot when Smalls first moved to the town and he tried to go play baseball with the fellas after his mom convinced him to, you know, get out the house and go find some friends? And Smalls didn't know how to play baseball, and he was in outfield, and he tried to catch the ball and throw it back, and he threw it like a girl, basically, and everybody laughed at him, and he ran home crying. Benny the Jet was the only person who realized that. Benny did. Benny then, after that, hunted him down and said, "Hey, Smalls, everything's okay. I'm sorry about my buddies, basically, but you should come back and hang with us. I know you can't talk. I know you can't play baseball very well, but we need you around. You're a good guy. You don't have to just be great at baseball to hang with us. We need everything else you bring to the table." So, Benny the Jet convinced the rest of the gang to let Smalls in the crew. And another thing, when you think about leadership, you don't have to always think that the leader always gets his way, because that's not what happens. That's never what happens. A leader often have to compromise. You remember in the movie when he had to compromise? I do. Everybody else wanted to go to the pool on that hot, scorching day. Benny the Jet wanted to finish playing baseball. It was like over 100 degrees. Who wants to play baseball when it's over 100 degrees? Everybody else suggested, "Hey, let's go to the pool. We'll check out the girls. We'll do some cannonballs." Benny the Jet gave in. That's what leaders do. They compromise. And most of all, how can we forget that he jumped the gate to get the Babe Ruth signed baseball from the Beast? The Beast. We know how crazy the Beast looked. That was like Cujo mixed with some type of a canine from Chicago PD mixed with a wild Chihuahua. The Beast was fearless. The Beast was, man, you don't want to run up on the Beast. But Benny the Jet, he was a leader. He had to show the guys, "Hey, you don't need to be scared. You don't need to be scared. We can jump this gate to save Small's life, because if we don't get this baseball back, Small's going to die, and he's not going to make it to high school. So we're going to jump this gate, and I'm going to get this ball." What happened after that? Benny got chased through the entire town. The entire town. That dog chased him through a carnival, a fair, a movie theater. What type of stamina is that, first off? Not to even switch subjects fast, but you have to have amazing stamina to be able to run from a dog that long. I wouldn't be able to do that. But that's the great thing. Because Benny was trying to show the whole time that he was a leader. And this is what Shabazz has been trying to show. He's been showing that he was a leader ever since Kemba Walker left. Last year, they couldn't make it to the NCAA tournament. Why? Because they were suspended. They couldn't make it. They should have. So what did he have to do? Corral his guys, get everybody on the same page and say, "Yeah, I know some of you are seniors, but we're gonna get after it next year. We're going to make sure we can do it." That's what leaders do. And this guy put the team on his back, and he showed them the way. The shortest guy in front showed them the way. It doesn't get much better than that. Shabazz Napier, you may say he's not going to make it to the pros. He won't pan out to be a great NBA player, but what the heck? Who cares? He's a leader. He can lead the blind to the water. He can do that. He will lead everybody to the creek to have a sip. He can do that. That's the type of aura that comes off his body. He's that type of guy. And not to mention that in the game yesterday, I mean, he didn't even have to score a lot of points to control the game and put his stamp on it. Coming into the game, everybody wanted to talk about Scottie Wilbekin. Oh, he's going to be the best guard playing in that game. No, I don't think so. He's not going to be the best guard playing in that game because Shabazz Napier was there. That's who the best guard was. Wilbekin struggled when that backcourt was on him. When Ryan Boatwright and Shabazz Napier were guarding him, he was 0 for 5 from the field. And he turned over the ball on like three or four plays because they were all in his grill. He didn't get any breathing room. He didn't get any space. They were on him like white on rice, like teriyaki on noodles, like ham on burger. They were on him. They didn't want to give him any room to breathe. It's like, hey, we know you're good, but you're pretty much not going to beat us today. That's what's going to happen. And not to mention that Florida shot 1 from 10 from behind arc. We know they like to hit threes. We know what that Frazier kid can do. He can light it up. But they went 1 for 10 from beyond the three. You're not going to win too many games when you're shooting like that, when you depend heavily on the three like they do. So just circling back around, I hope that everybody would agree that Shabazz Napier and the UConn Huskies somehow, some way, in a weird, odd way, mirror the movie The Sandlot. And if you want to discuss that, you can call in. Phone number is 913-491-8255. Again, 913-491-8255. You're listening to 20 and 10. I'm Ty Hardiman. So UConn won, which, I mean, I guess I can say my bracket is busted, but I thought that they would win that game because, like we discussed last time, college basketball is about who's playing right at the right time. It's not always about who's supposedly the best throughout the whole season. Florida's been the best team all year. But it's about who's playing the best basketball at the right time. And right now, UConn was the better team. UConn was the better team. And there's really no debate in that. And everybody in Florida's mad. I have a couple buddies out there that lives in Miami. I know that's a ways from Gainesville, but I can imagine everybody else in Florida is pretty upset. But how about the job that DeAndre Daniels did? That kid had 20 points, hit 2 threes, 10 rebounds. He's shown up in this tournament. He's averaging like 17 points in the tournament. He's grown and matured also. He's doing this all with Shabazz Napier. Many people didn't think that they would be in this position, but we're going to backpedal just a little bit. It's about who's playing the best basketball at the right time, and you have to have a fearless leader at the guard spot, and he has to be able to score. He has to be able to disrupt somehow, some way. And that's what Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright can do. Just to reverse, if you're just tuning in, I'm going to run down the last few national champions and explain why they won. Because you can only win if you have good guard play, and he's a leader. Last year, Louisville won. They had Peyton Siva, Russ Smith. The year before that, they had Marquise Teague and De'Ron Lamb. I know everybody thinks about Anthony Davis, but no. It wasn't all about him. Teague, go watch the film. Before that, the Huskies, UConn, Kemba Walker, of course. Before that, Duke won. It was John Shire. Before that, North Carolina, you had Ty Lawson. It doesn't get any better than that. UConn is now 5-0 in Final Four games. You know what that means? They're winners. They are winners. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to break down the Kentucky Wildcats, and I'm going to tell you why LeBron James should never rap over an instrumental ever again. You're listening to 20 and 10 on ESPN 1510.
You are listening to 20 and 10 with Ty Hardiman on ESPN 1510.
Welcome back to 20 and 10. I'm Ty Hardiman. 18 minutes past my only hour with you. And I hope you were just listening to that instrumental, because that's a classic. Which leads me perfectly into what I want to discuss. A few weeks ago, we had Portland Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum on the show. And I asked him about being able to spit some bars. Because, as you may know, a lot of rappers and a lot of basketball players seem to, I don't know, they seem to hang out a lot. They seem to gel. They seem to be in the same crowd, brought up under the same circumstances. They share a lot of interest. So I asked CJ McCollum to spit a couple bars, and he said, no, you know, I have to prep for stuff like that. But he said he would hit me next time and give me some bars. Unfortunately, he didn't. But another basketball player decides that he can spit some bars. It wasn't four. It was a lot more than that. But he decided to do that.
I just docked this up a friend's killer. Shots are bright, I got a tan killer. Try to catch up, it's a waste of time. I grind too hard, let you take mine.
Never.
AP Watch drop next month. 60 racks on your wrist is stunt. Fall back before you fall out. My team eating the rest of y'all drought. Say what you want about the king. Got money, got cribs, got whips, and oh yeah, got two rings, cribs, tall like Costco's. Gotta keep getting that Viber, De Niro. Don't fear, yo. I understand you take a pee, bro. What you see here is royalty. You can't beat me. You better join me, or it's 6 feet underneath, with my crown sheet, Cause you know we got it.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was four-time MVP, two-time NBA champion, LeBron James. Yes, that's who that was rapping. He thinks, just like another or a lot of rappers, basketball players, excuse me, that they can rap. I have no idea why, but he's one of those guys who think he can. And this works perfectly with Four Bar Sunday, because music is important. And music is very important to basketball. I'm sure when you're watching the games, they're bringing the ball up the court, and you hear perhaps your favorite instrumental. If I had the ball and I was bringing it up half court, and they played something that I liked, I'm not sure I can tame myself. And that's amazing. So, Four Bar Sunday premieres right now. We have our first caller. Who am I talking with? Caller, you still there? Looks like the call may have dropped. Let's see if they give us a call back. You still there, caller? But this is what makes Four Bar Sunday important. Because we get people like LeBron James who decides to do something like this. And I'm going to take it and run with it. It makes... I have to hear what you think. Please call in. Phone number is 913-491-8255, 913-491-8255. You're listening to 20 and 10 with Ty Hardiman. It looks like somebody is on the line. They're going to participate in Four Bar Sunday. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
looks like the call is not going through. They must have T-Mobile. You know, T-Mobile service isn't too good nowadays. But this makes me think about all the basketball players who think that they could rap, who think that they should rap. I think if you're good in one thing, specifically sports, don't try to do music. Or if you're good in music, don't try to do sports. You can't do both great. God didn't design us that way. So grow up and stop trying to do it. Because there's no way that LeBron James can make an album and it sound good. Would people buy it because it's LeBron James? I don't know. They may, but is it going to be quality music, something that you want to really listen to? I doubt it. So that got me to thinking that there's a whole list of basketball players whom tried to drop albums or singles and all types of stuff. We all know, remember Kobe. He came out with a single titled Kobe with Tyra Banks singing. We all know that Tyra Banks can't sing. We know that. This is some of the sample bars that Kobe had. Quote, what I live for, basketball, beats, broads, from Italy to the U.S. Yes, it's raw. That's what Kobe said. That's what Kobe said. Those are some of his bars. Kobe's terrible. Stick to your day job. Not 2 Chainz job. Stick to your day job. Who else was another terrible rapper? Ron Artest. Metal World Peace. This guy actually dropped a whole album, and he has an actual record label. If you don't know, Metal World Peace, he's from Queensbridge. That's in New York, for those who don't know. He has a great relationship with a lot of entertainers, a lot of rappers, a lot of singers. So they support him, but that doesn't mean that he's good. He actually questioned one time whether he should quit basketball and pursue music full time. Is that a good idea? No. I think you're a much better defender than punchline creator. At least that's what I think. We all remember Kevin Durant spitting a verse about a year ago over that Jay-Z and Kanye West song, Gotta Have It. But why? But why? But I just don't get it. And to even bring more laughter to it, Tony Parker, NBA champion, he's a rapper too. He's made songs too. But it looks like we have a caller, someone that's willing to participate in Four Bar Sunday. Who am I talking with?
Corporate.
I appreciate you joining me, buddy.
My pleasure.
You have four bars for me?
Hey, I got four bars to present to the masses or whatever.
And I appreciate you joining me. Give me your four bars right now.
Oh, snap. That's your girl? But I unbutton her pants big enough. Boy, ever since I met her, I plant. Her daughter mama, too. I shredded her, man. Okay, see, I'm good with a sis. Like Kevin Durant.
Corporate, how long have you been rapping?
About 2-3 years on a serious note. Been aspiring to for about 5 or 6.
Okay, for those who are just now tuning in, you can give us a call. Phone number is 913-491-8255. This is the premiere of Four Bar Sunday. We're talking with Corporate. Corporate, where you from?
Chicago.
Corporate, all the way from Chicago, Illinois. Corporate, spit those four bars one more time for those who are just now tuning in.
Yo. Oh, snap. That's your girl, but I unbutton her pants, digging her. Boy, ever since I met her, I plant. And her mama daughter, too. I shredded her, man. Okay, see, I'm good with a sis, like Kevin Durant.
Now, for those who can't dissect bars very well, Kevin Durant, He plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He says OKC. Everybody get that? You see how I can break that down real quick, right, Corporate?
Absolutely. And then I said her mama daughter, too. I shredded her, man. OKC. I'm good with a sis. It's a play on words. It's like I'm good with her sister, and then I'm good with a sis because we know Kevin Durant is. If I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, leading in the NBA right now for assists, right or wrong?
You're wrong on that, but I will give you credit for doing some research. He has improved this year on assists. He leads the NBA in points, but he's up to ante on assists this year because he was pretty terrible at that a few years ago. Corporate, I want to thank you for being our first Four Bar Sunday caller. We will. I'm going to get your phone number. And I'll be in touch with you soon. Just hold on for a second. All right, have a good one. That was Corporate from Chicago, our first caller for Four Bar Sunday. Did you hear the Kevin Durant rhyme? Did you hear it? I mean the bars were a little suggestive, and he didn't do enough research, but that's creativity. Now Corporate's a rapper. He does this, like, full-time. LeBron James doesn't. So why did he decide to make a rap? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But once again, I want to shout out Corporate for being our first Four Bar Sunday caller. I'm looking forward to talking to him again. And I got a special gift that I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you a 20 and 10 t-shirt. I really appreciate that. Man, I feel like I should have four bars. I guess it's only right. Should I? Maybe after break. After break, we're going to have more Four Bar Sunday callers, and I'm going to tell you why the University of Kentucky basketball team is somewhat like DJ Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. You're tuned in to 20 and 10 with Ty Hardeman on ESPN 1510.
You are listening to 20 and 10 with Ty Hardeman on ESPN 1510.
Welcome back to 20 and 10 on ESPN 1510. I'm Ty Hardeman. We're 34 minutes past my only hour with you. That's Black Skinhead by Kanye West, by the way, if you didn't know. We're still going to try to pursue Four Bar Sunday. We had our first ever caller for Four Bar Sunday. It was Corporate from Chicago, and he delivered some heat. He delivered some heat. A great play on words. You can actually tell that he studies his craft because rapping isn't that easy. And that gets me back to my original point with LeBron James and deciding that he wants to rap. I'm sure, like, most of these guys think that they can just do it for fun. But in some ways and in more ways than one, it's somewhat of an insult to those professionals. LeBron James is a great basketball player. And it's not only LeBron James. I mean, we have Steven Jackson. He raps. Tony Parker. He's laid down some tracks. Kevin Durant. Jason Kidd. Gary Payton. Steve Francis. Chris Webber. There's a lot of guys who have laid down at least one song. And they may think it's fun, but a lot of people may think it's almost a spit in the face to the actual craft that in the artistry that goes into putting together good music. And that was terrible, LeBron. That was really bad. Really, really bad. I mean, I will give you credit. I will give you some dap with choosing an appropriate instrumental, because that was a good choice. You chose the Jay-Z Rick Ross song from Magna Carta Holy Grail, You Know I Got It. That was a good choice. That is an excellent instrumental. A lot of hip-hop heads and a lot of music heads love that. And I think that was perfect. It was perfect. But, oh, man, LeBron, you probably shouldn't do that anymore. And we're going to get finally to our interview of the day with Dom Amore. He's a UConn beat writer for the Hartford Current. Don writes exclusively. He covers UConn all the time, so he knows any and everything we need to know about UConn as we approach the national championship game tomorrow. Dom, thanks for waking up and joining me this morning.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. What's going on?
I know you had a late night, so I am very, very grateful, but we'll try to make this short and sweet, and we'll jump right into it. UConn is heading to its fourth national championship game since 1999. I'm not sure many people really noticed that besides probably you and I and a few others. That's the most by any program since that time. Are we witnessing some sort of a quiet or sneaky dynasty, you know, forming?
Well, I mean, they've certainly been the most successful over that time. And, you know, they certainly have a way once they get this far of closing the deal. You know, they did lose to Michigan State in the semifinals in 09, but, you know, they're 7-1 at the Final Four over that span. You know, and, you know, they've done it without a lot of McDonald's All-Americans also, but they've recruited the kind of kids that they want to fit their system. I think they lost their way a little bit a few years ago when, you know, they probably stretched it a little bit and went for some kids that ended up getting the program in trouble. But I think it's a, you know, it's almost hard to explain how they've been able to do it and some of the elite programs and with storied histories have not. But what they've been able to do, certainly on the women's side even more so, but what they've been able to do since 1999 is really, really phenomenal.
What was the mentality going into last night's game, considering that they had already beat Florida a few months back? You know, most teams, when they've, you know, kind of beat up on somebody before, they had an emotional win last time, they come in a little overconfident. They didn't seem that way, but what was kind of the atmosphere in the locker room and the mentality leading up to that point?
Well, I think they were starting to get a little bit tired of hearing that it was a fluke when they beat Florida the last time. You know, there was a lot of talk to that extent that, you know, Florida didn't play anybody. They didn't have their full team on December 2nd, and, you know, there was kind of a fluky shot at the end. But, you know, you have to keep in mind, first of all, Florida had their regular starting lineup on the 2nd. They started the same five guys then that they started last night. They did have a couple of guys on the bench that they didn't have on the 2nd. And then the other thing is, you know, sure, it was kind of a fluky shot by Shabazz to win the game on the 2nd, but, you know, UConn hung with Florida the entire game. That's why they're in that position. So I think they felt that they could beat Florida. They knew they could play with Florida. I think kind of the whole thing that UConn's had going for this entire tournament is that when they were playing badly at the end of the season, Kevin Ollie took out the tape of that game on December 2nd and showed them that at their best they could beat the best. They could beat anybody. That's kind of carried them through this tournament. So I think that they had a little bit of some confidence from knowing they'd beat Florida, but they still had that chip on their shoulder from hearing so many times that it was a fluke.
We're talking with UConn beat writer Dom Amore for the Hartford Current here on ESPN 1510. Dom, Shabazz Napier has grown as a player on and off the court since the last national title. Can we tab that on Kemba Walker leaving and the suspension last year that kind of banned the guys from the tournament? How did this transformation really happen?
Well, it's been slow. It's been painful at times, but I think it's just a testament to staying the 4 years. You know, I think playing with Kemba that first year was a tremendous advantage for him. I mean, again, he had come from a place where, you know, like most freshmen, he had to adjust to playing a subordinate role from what he had played before. But nevertheless, he came in with a lot of fire, and that first year was obviously an immense help to him. And the second year with Kemba gone and taking over, he had to kind of find his voice as a leader with a veteran team. Now he's a sophomore, taking over a defending championship team as a point guard. Struggled to do it. I think he said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. He didn't really have the right leadership voice that he needed.
And that was a rough year. That was probably the most talented UConn team of the last four or five years that didn't go anywhere. And they had Drummond and Lamb and Oriaki together. But then, you know, last year he started to find his voice, started to find just the right way to assert his leadership, and he's just grown ever since. So it's been mostly, it's not unusual. It's just the kind of maturing that, you know, a young man's going to go through between the ages of 18 and 22 if he gives himself that chance by staying in college for 4 years.
Kevin Ollie had huge shoes to fill by replacing Calhoun. Some doubted that he actually even deserved the job. What can you imagine that critics are saying now that he's made it to a national title game in just his second season?
I'll tell you what, you know, there really were not a lot of critics. He was a very popular choice at the time, you know, because he was part of the UConn fabric, so UConn people liked him. He had all that NBA experience. You know, he is a very sincere, very likable guy. There really were not a lot of critics when he got the job, and there certainly were very few in Connecticut. If anything, there was more criticism over the way it was coming down because of the perception that, you know, Jim was kind of forcing it, you know, by retiring, and on the eve of the season. But, you know, obviously it's proven that he was the right choice, the right guy for the job. He's an extremely talented coach in terms of both the basketball X's and O's and managing the people around the team. But, you know, in order to do what he's done, you have to be a guy that's comfortable in your own skin. You know, he's very secure with himself. He really knows what he wants to do. You know, he's got four head coaches on his staff, and a lot of people would be threatened by that. You know, he's not at all. He's just a very comfortable, confident guy in his own skin. And that's what's allowed him to do what a lot of people have failed in similar situations.
Don, before I let you get out of here, what are the keys to victory for UConn in order to beat that young Kentucky Wildcat squad?
Well, I think what they're going to have to do, again, their experience is their advantage. Their ability to maybe bring ball pressure is going to be their advantage. Their ability to take care of the ball on their end is going to be to their advantage. Obviously, you know, Kentucky's got both size and speed, which is going to be a tough combination for UConn to contend with. But really, it's going to have to be, not really having broken down the matchup the way I will later today. My instinct is that it's going to be a lot about ball security and a lot about, on both sides, just a lot about UConn making sure that their experience and their guard play remains to their advantage, as it was last night.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to reading what you have to say for the keys to victory for the UConn Huskies coming up. Dom, I appreciate you joining me this morning.
All right, no problem. You got it. Sorry about the timing there.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Dom Amore, UConn beat writer for the Hartford Courant. You can follow him on Twitter, at Amore Courant. UConn Huskies versus the Kentucky Wildcats. That is our national title game for tomorrow evening. That's very exciting. I can't wait. I'll tell you who I'm going to pick for that game. And we have to get back into more Four Bar Sunday, because I'm not done with this LeBron James cat. Nor have I told you why the Kentucky Wildcats are something like DJ Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You're listening to 20 and 10 on ESPN 1510.
Your ESPN 1510 Sports Center is brought to you by 20 and 10. After the Final Four was set, now only two teams remain in the big dance. Last night, UConn beat the number one overall seed in the tournament, Florida, 68-53. The win makes coach Kevin Ollie the third coach in 30 years to make it to the national title game in just his second season. The Huskies will face the Kentucky Wildcats, who was taken down to the wire by Wisconsin.
Harrison on the drive, down the baseline, dishes to DeCorey Johnson, back to Harrison. Aaron Harrison, three, on the left.
Championship. Ooh, some onions!
That was freshman guard Aaron Harrison, who hit the go-ahead three with 5.6 seconds left to give the Wildcats a 74-73 victory. That win makes Coach Calipari 18-2 in the NCAA tournament while coaching at Kentucky. The national championship game is set for this Monday at 8:10 Central Standard Time on CBS. For baseball, the Royals beat the Chicago White Sox thanks to a go-ahead double by Salvador Perez in the eighth. The Royals are now a perfect 2-0 at home. Today's series continues at 1:10 Central Standard Time. I'm Ty Hardeman.
You are listening to 20 and 10 with Ty Hardeman on ESPN 1510.
Welcome back to 20 and 10. I'm your host, Ty Hardeman. Got about 10 minutes left in the show. We just spoke with Dama Moore from Hartford Current. He covers the UConn Huskies exclusively. He knows everything you need to know about that. We're going to be looking out for that article from him a little bit later today to figure out the keys to victory for the Huskies. We did Four Bar Sunday today. We premiered that. We're still waiting on a few people to call in. Phone lines aren't buzzing like I really want. You guys got to call in because LeBron James made a fool of himself. If you didn't hear it, I'll just quote it real quick. Quote, "Say what you want about the king. Got money, got cribs, got whips. Oh, yeah, got two rings." End quote. That's what he said. But I'll move on from that because he's ridiculous. And I hated every bit of it. I wanted to explain why I think the Kentucky Wildcats are somewhat like DJ Jazzy Jeff from The Fresh Prince. If you know anything about DJ Jazzy Jeff, besides the fact that he's a DJ, on The Fresh Prince, what used to happen? He used to always get kicked out. He always got thrown out by Uncle Phil, repeatedly. I actually urge you to watch the montage on that on YouTube of him getting thrown out. He's been thrown out of the house, the car, the hotel, the restaurant, so many times. It's pretty funny. And I think that somehow mirrors the Wildcats because Jazzy Jeff knew what he was doing the whole time he was getting kicked out. He would say something obscene and suggestive and crazy to Hillary and he would get thrown out, but he knew it was coming. And that's how the Wildcats were. Or are, I guess I should say. They knew that time was coming for them to play the best basketball that they could play. It was almost like it was premeditated. They knew sooner or later, we're all going to start clicking. We're going to get this ball rolling. And we're gonna dominate. Because that's what we do. Because we're Kentucky. And we have seven All-Americans, McDonald's All-Americans on our team. Five that are freshmen and two that are sophomores. So they knew it was coming, just like DJ Jazzy Jeff. He would say something, he would get thrown out. They knew that it was coming. It was just a matter of time. We were impatient as the media, but this was coming. Aaron Harrison is now 3-for-3 on game-tying or go-ahead three-pointers in the final minutes of the NCAA tournament. He never attempted anything like that during the regular season. How amazing is that? That Coach Cal team is all of a sudden playing their best basketball. Because they knew they would eventually. It just takes time. They're young. They start five freshmen. Last night, Jalen Rose called them the Fab Five 2.0. We all remember the Fab Five. Fab Five 2.0, that's high praise. Coming from a guy who was in the Fab Five. That win last night gives Coach Cal an 18-2 record in the NCAA tournament since becoming the head coach at Kentucky, which means they rarely lose. They don't lose. They only lost twice out of 20 games. That's huge. And a lot of people, you know, they were the preseason number one. And a lot of people came down on them hard once they started playing bad in the season. But what's most funny, and this, continuing with the Four Bar Sunday topic, this comes from the rapper Fabulous from Brooklyn. He said, I quote, "Pride won't digest, we don't swallow ours." That's what it's exactly like for the Wildcats. They're not swallowing their pride because they know that they're better than everybody else. They know that they have the talent to beat everyone else. They knew this all along, just like DJ Jazzy Jeff knew that he would get thrown out. They're not swallowing their pride because they know they're good. Why should they do it? Just because they're freshmen? That makes Shabazz Napier and company better because he's a senior? No, it doesn't. People who have this type of personality, who have this type of confidence and I hate this term, swagger about themselves, they walk it. And that's what these young guys are doing. Everybody's bracket is busted. I hope you know. My bracket is terrible. I call myself somewhat of an expert, and I did horrible. But remember, we're still doing that 20 and 10 bracket challenge. Whomever wins the bracket, I'm going to have on the show for a quick segment to explain why he or she picked the picks that they picked. How did they know that? Or is it just pure luck? And they're also going to get a free t-shirt. So right now, tied for first is, and I'm going to read their, like, I guess, screen name. And you know it's always something weird. It's never just like Mike Tanner. It's never something normal. C-Last Bracket. He's tied for first. And Billion Dollar is tied for first. And neither one of them have either UConn nor Kentucky in the championship game. So they're the winners for the 20 and 10 bracket challenge. And I'll have them on the show next week. So I'll contact them through the ESPN bracket email and let them know that they tied. So they're going to have to split some time on the show next week. But I'm curious to know, first of all, I mean, everybody did pretty bad. The total scores are pathetic, but curious to know, you know, how they picked what they picked. Nobody in my whole, in the whole bracket challenge for the 20 and 10 had anybody for the, really any points from the Final Four, which is amazing. They got a lot of points from the Elite Eight, but not many from the Final Four. Not many. But this sets up a beautiful matchup for tomorrow, an 8 and a 7 seed, which pretty much never happens. Never happens. This is the first time an 8 and 7 seed have actually been in the national championship game. This makes the highest combined seed total for a title game also. Before that, it was Butler and UConn in 2011. When UConn won, obviously. Butler was an 8 seed that year. But who am I picking? I know you want to know. Who am I picking? And I'm picking the Kentucky Wildcats. Not to say that I don't like Connecticut, but I'm going to roll with Kentucky only because of the story. I'm a huge story guy. I'm a storyline guy. I'm about narratives and stuff like that, and I think their narrative is a lot better. They've had to overcome way too much. Coach Cal has proven that he can coach a team up, and now I think tomorrow night they're gonna put everybody to bed. They're gonna put the silencer on that pistol and hush everybody up. I think that's what's gonna happen. Thanks for joining me on 20 and 10 on ESPN 1510. Thanks to Dom Amore, the UConn beat writer. Thanks to Corporate, who was our first Four Bar Sunday participant. We'll contact him soon to give him a prize. I'll see you guys next Sunday.